The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
So we're talking about writing and inspiration and where you get it, depending on where you're, what you're writing for, with guest Jules Selbo today on I Should Be Writing, Season 18, Episode 69.
Well, I should.
So hi there, welcome to I Should Be Writing. This is the podcast for wannabe fiction writers. I'm your host, Mer Lafferty. Been doing this for 18 years or so, and been publishing professionally, traditionally, since for about 10 years. Wow. Now I'm old. Feel old.
Just congratulations.
But today on the show, I have with me playwright, screenwriter, and novelist, Jules Selbo, and we're going to be talking about her new book. How are you, Jule?
Oh, I'm good. I'm happy to be here.
I'm delighted to have you, because there's so many, your career is just amazing. So I'll be eager to get into that. But first, we're going to talk about accountability. That's the word I'm looking for. Sorry. About accountability and how we're all doing. I am, I've been trying to get a whole bunch of things in place for NaNoWriMo, both as a podcaster and as a writer. So not a lot of writing done, but I've been brainstorming and been doing a lot of other work. So that's my, bad news for writing, but good news for the podcast in the coming month. Jule, do you want to tell us what you're working on, or if anything, or if there's anything you can tell us?
You know, my mystery series, my crime mystery series, D. Rommel, a mystery series, 10 Days came out last year, 9 Days just came out a couple of weeks ago, and so I'm in the midst of 8 Days, because it's going to go 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Mm-hmm. And so D. Rommel solves the crime mystery within that number of days. And so, I'm just cranking along with that and other things that, like you said, are filling up time that are interesting. But the D. Rommel series is my focus right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, as for good news, I don't think I have anything. It's, the good news I can share, is that, my book, the second book in the Midsummer Murder series, has a title now, and that is, Chaos Terminal. It, provided I hit all my deadlines, which I'm going to, dang it. It should be on shelves in about a year. So November 2023.
Isn't it amazing how long it takes?
Yeah.
It takes a year to write them, or I don't know, maybe you're much faster than I am.
No.
And then it doesn't seem like it should take a year to get it out on the shelf.
Yeah, I know. But publishing, glacial pace and all that.
Yes.
But you, you've worked with Hollywood before, and that's got to be slower. From my experience, it's slower.
Well, it depends on which of the modes that you're working in. Obviously, TV works really fast.
Mm. I guess once you get greenlit, it's fast.
Well, if you're on a series, I did a whole bunch of TV series, and we would get 7 or 10 days to write the first draft of the script.
Wow.
But as the machine would go on and the season would go on and deadlines would get tighter and tighter and tighter, sometimes we were writing them faster. And then you'd get notes that you would turn around sometimes in a day or 2 days, and then it would go before the camera. That's what was so exciting to me about television. Whereas feature, you're right, it takes a long time.
If you guys have any good news in chat, you can put it in chat or you can email me later. I think I have updated the team rejection count. It is not updated here. Why is it not updated here? Okay, it's not updated on the screen, but I believe it's updated in the. Yeah, it's supposed to be 355. It says 346, but it's 355. Trust me. We can add to that manually. And Jewel, do you have any good news to share? If not, that's fine. We just try to let people celebrate what they can.
Yeah, well, I guess I'm celebrating. I had a thing at a bookstore, a local bookstore here in Portland, Maine, on Monday night. It was huge rainstorm, thunder, craziness, and luckily it stopped raining an hour before the event, and we had a really good turnout, and it was really fun. And so, yeah, so all that was for 9 days.
Wow, well, that's great. The weather, not so much, but the event, yes. Underpope says, does it count as a rejection when the market is defunct and never responded before going offline? I'm going to count that as a yes. Definitely. Oh, thank you for the follow. Welcome, Supernova Cat. Okay, so I got the count is right now. Okay. Running a children's picture book, and I just got the final line art back from the illustrator. It looks amazing. That's
Great.
amazing. Congratulations, Roth MG. Yeah, team rejection count is up to 356. We have more rejections than there have been days in 2022. So I'm very proud of everybody for hitting that. And you still got a couple of months left, so keep submitting and let us know when you have rejections to add to the pile because rejections mean you're a working writer, y'all. I believe in you. So yeah, we can get started. Sorry, Jewel, having you on the show is so exciting because you have done so many things over so much time, and I just, you've got the kind of career that just makes the rest of us go, how? That's just amazing. I'm gonna ask the strange question first, and I always worry this is gonna like come across strangely or rudely, but really, I think everybody always has the grass is always greener idea. And so when I hear screenwriters come over to the noveling side, I'm like, why? Because it seems to me that screenwriting would be more exciting or fulfilling or lucrative or something. And then, so I was curious about what made you step over this way from Hollywood.
Well, it is really exciting. I had 20 some years out in Hollywood, and it was all fun and great. And I was very lucky. I was working the whole time, either in features or television or animation. And at the very beginning, my agent was going, "How come we have to focus you? You have to do one thing." And I said, "I just like doing a lot of different things." And it ended up being a good thing because as things get popular and then they don't get popular. And if you've put yourself in one little peg hole, then you end up having months or a year or something where things aren't happening. But the reason I left Hollywood is the exciting thing about working in Hollywood is it's very collaborative. If you're going to write a spec script, which is writing it on speculation, no one's paying you to do it, then you have your own little time and you're writing your spec script. But the moment it goes into a studio and if someone buys it, then the notes start coming. And if it gets a green light and goes into production, then the director gives you notes, the actors give you notes, hopefully you're going on the location shoots and things have to change because one or another location's not going to work. And so it becomes a different animal from the thing that you put your heart and soul into, and you worried about every pronoun and every word and every image. And then it becomes a very collaborative art. And, most of the time I had the good fortune of working with amazing people, sometimes not, but most of the time they were amazing. But after 25 years, I was like, you know, as a kid, I wanted to be a novelist. And I thought, well, I better get to it if I'm going to do it. And at this stage of my life, I'm very happy, basically being in my little office in my house and imagining and writing and doing it and knowing that it's going to stay mine.
Mm-hmm.
Throughout the whole process. I mean, as you know, we get notes from the editor, suggestions, trims, edits. My publisher doesn't insist on anything. So I take what is makes sense to me. And then when it gets done and it's in its little book form, it is more me than probably any of the films that I did.
That's an excellent answer. I remember talking to another screenwriter who had his first book coming out, and he told me he kept waiting throughout the book production process for it to be canceled because so many projects in Hollywood, they have so many, they can be canceled at like any stage.
Yeah.
And so he was actually astonished to find out that, like, once the contract's signed and, you know, the book is turned in, it's gonna get made.
Yes.
So,
yes,
I suppose that is another good part.
Yeah, and in Hollywood, there's a couple of screenplays that I was paid to write, paid well to write them, and they're still sitting on the studio shelves. They mm-hmm. would go, you know, they would get closer to production. A director would be placed. An actor would sign on, but then for whatever reason, an executive leaves or the actor is no longer available or something, things fall out of place. And you don't own it. Once mm-hmm. you are paid to write it, you no longer own it. There is a way to get it back through the WGA, the Writers Guild of America, but it costs the writer so much.
Wow.
Because the studio will place on all the monetary things that they say that they spent on it, like the executive salary, the paper it was printed on, the phone calls that was made about it.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden, there's no way to afford to buy it back.
Yeah. So yeah, that's what I wanted to ask about the career pivot, but let's talk about 9 days. So you said the naming structure of the book has to do with the time she has to solve the case?
Yes.
Interesting. Yes. How do you, I have so many questions. So tell us about 10 and then 9 days.
Well, 10 days was the first of the series, and the main character is Dee Rommel, and she's 28, 29 years old. She's going to turn 30. So in 10 days, I think she was still 29 because 8 days takes place 6 months after. So, yes, she's 29 years old. And she was a cop on the police force in Portland, Maine. And that was always something that she believed in. She's very big on justice and getting things right and making the world make sense to herself. And you know, so... but then she was going after the bad guy, and she gets pushed off a 6-story building.
Yikes.
And she loses the lower half of her left leg. So she now has a prosthetic, prosthesis, and she is in 10 days, she's on medical leave and in rehab. And her godfather is a private investigator in Portland. And so to get her out of her funk and get her out of her apartment, basically, he said, you're going to come work for me and you're going to do my books. And you just have to show up every day at the office. Well, she gets pulled into some cases, and because of their relationship and things that are going on with Gordy and stuff, it turns out that she needs to make a decision. Do I want to go back to the police force, or do I want to go into business with my godfather as a private investigator? And there's a lot of emotional pulls and pushes both ways. So in 10 days, there's two, I think, really fun crime mysteries that she has to grapple with, but she's also grappling with, what am I going to do with my life? and what am I going to decide to do? And so yeah, 10 days is kind of setting it up, but it won a lot of awards, which was great. It won the Silver Falchion at Killer Nashville, and it was up for the Kirkus top. It was named one in the Kirkus top five crime mysteries of the year, and a couple of other awards.
That's great.
So I think it works really well. And then 9 days, because of what's going on with Gordy, she has decided to stay here with him and work with in his private investigator office for a while. And the police department's not happy because they paid for her rehab and they, you know, paid for her medical leave and all that. But she's decided to stay with Gordy. And the a world famous astrologer, Agnes Sounds Meckler, there's a gardener who was shot in her backyard, and she tells the police that she did it. And her son, Czar, hires Dee and Gordy to prove that his mother didn't do it, even though she said she did. Mm-hmm. And then that all has to unravel.
Okay. So do you have 10 plot lines in mind? Are you trusting they'll come?
Well, I have Dee's arc, because it's going to be a 10-book arc for Dee as she, you know, it's really a coming of age story for her. See her growth, her getting her strength back and her confidence back. I mean, she's already a tough cookie. She's got a big chip on her shoulder. She's, you know, almost 6 feet tall. She was an athlete, but so this injury has really set her back, and so she has to kind of deal with her body image and her place in this world of what she wants to do is, you know, help justice be served. So I have her arc and her romantic arc and her friendship arcs and her arc with Gordy. And I have that planned out over a 10 book sequence. The plots are, I kind of see what's interesting to me at the time so I can get excited about writing it.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So is your publisher on board with the 10 books, or are you hoping that the next deal will cover more of the 10 books? I ask that because I know a lot of people, including myself, have planned out series that the publisher was not on board with continuing. And so I was curious if you had, what were your plans were there?
Yeah, they're on board. My publisher's Panda Moon. They're based in Texas, and it's a small house, but I'm very happy to be there. I have a lot of friends, I'm sure a lot of people do, and you do, that, you know, have been with the bigger houses right now. And as that keeps shrinking, yeah. It's just like the studios keep shrinking, everyone buys each other and stuff. They're having a little bit of trouble sometimes with their publishers. So I think for me, the smaller house is good. It feels very transparent, and, you know, I can actually call somebody and get someone on the phone or via text. And they're very committed.
So, as we've said, you have gone, you've done screenwriting and for feature and TV and playwriting and novel writing. What interests me is that I'm, you know, juggling a couple of different genres right now, just to sort of dabbling in them. Do you go about the writing process, other people, I know that screenwriting is more collaborative, but you approaching your word count or page count goal for the day, do you go about that kind of outlining or brainstorming or writing in a different way when you're looking at a play script or a filming script or a novel?
Well, I kind of think of it this way. So before I committed to doing 10 days, which is taking up all my time, and I'm very happy to do that, I would have ideas and I'd write myself notes and stuff like that. And then I would sit down and the ones that really I wanted to pursue more, I'd kind of go, is this a play? Is this a screenplay? Is this a novel? Is it a graphic novel? I've done one graphic
Oh,
novel, and
cool.
I've done some podcasts, like drama podcasts, story podcasts. And usually it tells you. I tried to write one this thing that I wrote kind of for my mother. It was based on my mother's life, called Lake Girls. And I started writing it as a screenplay. I thought it would be so beautiful, and but then I also knew it wasn't like an action adventure. It was a smaller story, and I tried writing it as a screenplay, and it just never came together. And then one day I said, "You know what? I think this is a play." And I sat down, and it probably in about a week it was done
Oh,
because I
wow.
knew so much what I wanted to do, but it was the right form for the story. So yeah, I think about that. And Dee Rommel, I think, could be a very good TV series, but I don't. But right now, all I want to do is write the books because, you know, who doesn't want a 10-book series on their shelf, you
Yeah,
know, to look
exactly.
at the end of their life, you know? I really am committed to doing that. And, you know, it's the yeah. So I kind of look at where did the story fits, and then and that has to do with genre. It's interesting in film writing. I don't know if you know, but I wrote the book called Film Genre for the Screenwriter. It's used in universities a lot, and I have the picture of it right here. I put it on my desk. There it
Oh,
is.
nice.
And but what I did is I took every genre. There's 30 genres that I just broke down as far as screenwriting, but it also works for novel writing too. And what an audience expects when you say I'm writing a crime mystery, or I'm writing a sci-fi action film, or I'm writing an adventure, disaster film, or Western, whatever. And it just talks about audience expectations and then the classic components that are in each genre. And so I always still go back to it because, you know, Dee Rommel's a crime mystery. That's what it's sold under. That's where it's going to be shelved. That's where it is on Amazon and other online bookstores. But there's a romance line, there's a coming of age line, there's a buddy line. And all those things have so many great components that as a writer, they can just help you, you know, go, okay, well, if I want to get this to be important, these are the elements that I might have to consider to put in it. Does that make sense?
No, that's great. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Yeah, that's we talk about that a lot because some people say they don't like, formulas in fiction because they're so cookie cutter, and I'm like, yeah, but a house needs a foundation. You can build a really interesting house, but you're gonna need a basic foundation, and that's how I see these formulas. People are going to be, I mean, when someone goes to see a mystery and the mystery's not solved, they're going to be
Right.
pissed. Romance readers are notoriously angry when there's no happy ever after or happy for now. So there's a lot of expectations in fiction. Even if you think you want something new, you want something new but the same.
Yeah, I think you want to give the audience what they expect, but then give them even more
I
and
like
put your
that.
original stamp on it. And a lot of that has to do with how you mix the genres that you're going to have in your story, I think.
From the chat, we have, how is writing a novel different from writing a play or screenplay for you particularly? Yeah, I was going to ask that regarding what surprised you when you started writing a novel.
Well, it's harder. It's just because, you know, in screenplay you can put exterior hospital, rainy night, you know, and here you have to really dig in, and you have to find and that's another thing about the genres. Crime mystery is traditionally fast-paced, and you don't really get too eloquent because you want it to be a fast read, and so you don't go down paths of walking, you know, through flowers or anything. And sometimes when I have a writerly morning and I go, oh, that's a beautiful sentence. Oh, I can't believe she said that or whatever. normally just cut it because I go, no, that's not her voice. She doesn't talk like that. She doesn't even think that way. So I think the genre that you choose also dictates sometimes the length of your sentences and who your characters are and mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff. What was the question?
How is writing a novel different from writing a player screenplay for you particularly?
So it's just, it takes more time. And because I want the characters to be really three-dimensional, you have to build them. In screenwriting, you don't explain so much. You're hoping that each scene forwards the story, but sometimes it can just be a look across the room, yeah. or it can be, somebody calls and then you cut and you find out later what the telephone call was. And in novel writing, it just is a different pace and it's just more words.
Mm-hmm. A lot more words. Also, the thing that gets me, I'm writing some audio drama scripts, is just the fact that in fiction we count the words, and in screenwriting you count the pages.
Right.
And that just feels so weird to me, because people ask how many, like, how long it is, and I'm thinking 5,000 words, but I don't know how many script pages that is, and it's, like, I know how long it'll take me to write 5,000 words. I don't know how long it'll take me to write, 20 pages of script, because I just don't think like that yet.
Yeah, I'm with my students, because I still teach screenwriting, and in one semester they have to write a first mm-hmm. rough draft. And I pretty much have them on a 10 pages a week schedule, and then they have to go back every once in a while and rewrite pages. And I think if you could go 10 to 15 pages a week, not even a week, in a half a week,
mm-hmm.
because then you might want to go back and look at them and stuff. And some days you'll be on a roll and you'll do 20 pages and then sometimes you'll get stuck. But I've found that I can get them through a whole first draft, pretty good first draft, if they average 10 to 15 pages a week.
I'm sorry, first draft for what length of?
First draft for a 100-page screenplay.
Okay, 100-page screenplay.
Yeah. Yeah, that whole page count, word count, was a big change for me going to novel writing when you think
sure.
about what changes. Because now I know what a 90,000
yeah.
Novel looks like. When I started, I had no idea.
Yeah, yeah. Do you see yourself returning to Hollywood? Or are you... primarily, or are you like full-time novelist for good forever?
I think I'm full-time novelist because after I finish these 10 books for the D. Rommel series, I know what I want to do next. And I kind of like being by myself and I like my writing routine. And I love living in Portland, Maine, as opposed to Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm. Very different places, those.
Yeah. So I think I will just stick to novel writing and be happy doing it.
Great. What is your routine? We love talking about routines here.
Well, I'm a morning person. And pre-COVID, when I was living in Los Angeles, even when I was working in Hollywood as a screenwriter, there was a 24-hour diner near my house, called Astro. And it was funny because the waitresses would kind of be dressed up in gowns and spangly earrings and stuff. But I would go there usually about 4 a.m., 4, 4:30 a.m. And I would work for a couple hours. And then when people started coming in for regular breakfast, I would go home and input some of my work into the computer or, just keep working at home. I try to work from early morning until about noon, 11 o'clock or noon. And then I take a break and then I go back to work at 3, from 3 to 6.
Wow.
So I get up my errands and watching my Columbo or whatever I'm watching out of the way while I have lunch. And So lately it's been really tough because I have a couple of projects that I've been having to work on, and so I haven't been able to take that break in the middle of the afternoon. I just go to the other project, and it's I don't know. I mean, how do you deal with looking at the computer all the time?
What do you mean? How do I deal with it? Just.
Well, does your brain, does your do your eyes, do your brain, or do that just gets tired?
Yeah, definitely. I often I not as early as you do, but I work. I try to do a lot of my creative work in the morning, and then I take a break for errands or domestic stuff or something away from the computer. And then I'll do admin or podcast production, but yeah, looking at the screen a little bit too much is a problem. I'm actually looking forward to my doctor's appointment next week because I'll get a chance to get new glasses. And I hope to be getting computer glasses because it's getting hard to see the screen now. So,
Is that a blue kind of thing? Is that a blue gel or something that's in the glass?
what you mean by I'm
For a computer glass?
No, I mean actual glasses.
Yeah, I
The
know.
distance.
I
I
know,
don't know.
but
I don't think it's the color. It's just the distance. It's different from my long range glasses, and it's different from reading glasses, which is right here. So this distance is different. My eye doctor's been trying to get me to use it for get them for years. So finally, she wins.
Well, and also I also spend time doing a lot of research because I like to kind of find out what I'm exploring in each book or in each screenplay. One of my favorite jobs in Hollywood was when I worked with George Lucas on Young Indiana Jones Chronicles.
Oh, wow.
And that was all research and writing. But we would be up at his ranch up in Marin County, and we would go up there for 2 or 3 weeks at a time, talk out stories. But every night we would be sent home because he had his own beautiful library and his own great librarian. So she would put together all our research for us to take home at night to read before we met for story conferences the next day
Oh, wow.
with George Lucas. So, and it was a perfect job for me because even as a kid, I loved doing research. So that's when you said, do you are the plots worked out for each of the in the 10, 9, 8, 7? They're not so much because I kind of wait to see what's of interest to me that I want to dig deep into in research that I can somehow weave into the bad guy or weave into what's happening to D so that I get that joy of researching and then trying to make it entertaining in some way.
Yeah. There is a love for young Indiana Jones in the chat. If you have any questions, either about the career or the new books Jules's been working on, let us know in the chat. What advice would you give to new writers in any of your media you've worked in? Like
Well,
advice for
first
new
of all,
screenwriters or advice for new writers?
First you have to have content. You have to actually have something to sell. So obviously it means writing, and getting it to a point where writing, rewriting, and then making sure it's in the proper format, whatever format is necessary. Screenplays are looking more like 1 hour dramas, and screenplays are looking almost the same now. Half hour sitcom or half hour shows will look a little bit different, but you can find all those formats online. And then I know everyone on the call here is a novelist. We all know what that looks like. It's interesting. When I did a graphic novel, I had no idea how to do it, and so I was working with the artist. So I could write and he would just take it. So I don't know if there's a format for that. Maybe somebody does know. So yeah, the advice would be just, you know, write something that you're really interested in writing and not try to outthink the marketplace or second guess the marketplace, because they're always looking for something new. They're looking for a voice. So you don't have to go, oh, look at, they're buying a whole bunch of those. Let me write one of those. If that isn't interesting to you, just write what you are interested in writing.
Excellent. Well, is there anything else you wanted to mention or talk about that I didn't get to?
Well, actually, I should just say that with animated, because a lot of people like to write animated animation scripts. They when I first started writing for Disney, there was a little bit of a different format, but over the years it became it looked just like a screenplay. So when I did Ariel's Beginning, which was the third Ariel, or Hunchback of Notre Dame, which is the second Hunchback, I was in the meeting with the executive, and I said, okay, I haven't done an animation script before. Can you give me a what one looks like? And they said, no, just let it look just like a regular screenplay. That's where we are at this moment. So, so basically all you need to learn is basically, you know, final draft, but there's free, formats like Celtex and Fade In and Movie Script. So you can learn it for free. And then if you end up liking writing them, then you can get Final Draft, which is the industry standard.
Yeah. Kids Are Asleep asks, are adaptations happening more than original work these days, or vice versa, or is it an even mix?
Well, as we know, we've kind of gotten taken over by the Marvel world. And I'm hoping that that will subside soon, but it doesn't look like it's going to.
Yeah.
So obviously those are adaptations. So it's really hard, I think, in my opinion, to sell a superhero screenplay now, because they want to be able to market it as a Marvel or a DC comic or whatever thing. And there's so much that they can jump off from. But that doesn't mean that a really cool one's not going to pop up and get someone's attention.
Yeah.
You know, this is an old adage that executives at the studios, they feel very comfortable, more comfortable buying a book and then having someone adapt it, because then it's, you know, a book that's done well, because then they go, well, wait, it did well on the, you know, in the book marketplace. How was I to know it wouldn't make it, you know, that the adaptation wouldn't work? So adaptations are always going to be popular. I think that the sometimes you in the way that the world works now is so many of the actors that we all love have their own production companies, and they're smaller production companies. And if an actor reads a script and they go, oh, this is perfect for me, then that's a kind of a plus, kind of interesting way to go.
Mm-hmm. Okay, interesting. Well, where can we find you online?
JewelSelbo.com, JewelSelbo at Facebook, JewelSelbo at Twitter. So it's pretty simple.
Excellent.
And then my website is, oh yeah, JewelSelbo.com. I said that.
Yeah. Well, the book is 9 days. It is the second book. The D. Rommel series. Is it the D. Rommel series? A D. Rommel mystery. Yeah. Yes.
D. Rommel mystery.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, I can be found at Merverse.com on Twitch, Tuesdays and Thursdays, twitch.tv/MightyMer. And if you got any questions for the podcast you want me to mention during the show, MightyMer@gmail.com. And MightyMer at Twitter and TikTok as well. So thank you all in the chat for hanging out. Thank you for your time and excellent interview, Jewel. We're so glad to have you on the show. And I'll see you guys on Monday when we'll be doing Ditch Diggers with Cameron Hurley. So it'll be 4:30 Halloween day. And good luck getting ready for NaNoWriMo this weekend. Thank you so much, Jewel.
Thank you.
I Should Be Writing is available to you under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Theme music by John Anilio. Art by Numbers Ninja. Production by Summer Brooks. And hosting by Libsyn. Find all of this information and more at Merverse.com. And remember, we can't do this without you. Thanks for your support. Doctor Who. I'm sitting home watching Doctor Who.